Welcome today to the launch of our brand new series called You Asked For It. We're so glad you guys are here at all of our campuses. Welcome those of you who are joining us online, South San Jose, Sunnyvale. It is a great day to be together. You know, we believe this series really is out of a conviction that the church should be the place that you can go to with your questions. And I think a lot of our times in our journey spiritually, people will say, don't bring up your questions, you know, just have faith, just believe. But in reality, those questions are there. And for you to get to a place of true faith, you have to have the freedom to wrestle through what you believe and what's true. So the church is a place where truth and God's grace and his love can all converge to help you wrestle through your questions. So over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at the five big questions that you voted on. There are also hundreds of other questions. And if you go to our YouTube channel, actually, we'll be pushing out some of the questions that we don't have the time to get to in the series. Make sure to subscribe there to get those. And it's very evident that in our society, in our culture right now, people are asking a lot of questions. There's a lot of hardship that we've experienced. And probably you already know this week there was a shooting at YouTube. I got a text about it on Tuesday afternoon. I was informed of the fact that we had somebody from Echo Church that was in the building where it happened. And that just goes to show you that the evil and the suffering in our world is closer and closer and closer to our hearts, to our homes. And I also believe at the same time, in the midst of all this, God can redeem the brokenness. He can redeem the hardship and the suffering. And it's a chance for the church to shine brightly with the light that God has shined into our hearts. And so I'd like to take a moment today to pray for the families that were affected there. And I want to pray that God will use this difficult time in our nation for his love to shine through us, especially together as a church. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you today that you are here in this space, that you are here to move in our hearts. I believe, God, that you want to use us to make a difference. And I believe that even in the midst of what happened this week at YouTube, that you can use it. I pray for your spirit to minister to those who were affected. I pray that you would give the people who are part of Echo, who are connected there, the wisdom to be able to show your love, that you would shine brightly in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. It's been said before that the two most important days of your life are, number one, the day you were born, for without it, you would not exist. And number two, the day that you discovered the reason why you were born, your purpose for existence. There's so much inside of the human soul that longs to know why we were created, why we're here on planet Earth. In fact, this week I went to Google to search, just like everybody in the video goes to Google to define their purpose. And I went there, and in a half second, 1,150,000,000 responses came forth on why am I here on planet Earth. Today we're going to wrestle through the question, how can I have purpose in my life? And really, why are we here? There's so much information and knowledge that comes at us in regards to our purpose. There was a book that was written a few years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. People are so hungry for that message that over 30 million copies of the book sold. Today we're going to wrestle through discovering why we were placed here on the planet. There's so much that goes into understanding this because we are looking to a lot of different places to define our reason for existence or our purpose. One great theologian, Jim Carrey, would say one time, he would say, I wish everyone could be rich and famous and have everything that they ever dreamed of because they would understand that that's not ultimately the answer. Maybe you had something that you wanted, that you were looking for, and when you got it, it didn't satisfy you. It was a relationship. It was a job. It was an amount of money. It was sex. It was something that you pursued, and when you got there, you were more disappointed than when you started. And it's very true that the pursuit of the things in this world oftentimes leaves us empty and leaves us broken. And a true theologian, C.S. Lewis, said one time, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were created for another world. See, you were made by God ultimately to exist for all eternity. And today you are looking to something to define your purpose. I wonder today, what is that thing that you are looking to right now in this moment that you have your eyes set on to define your reason for existence? What are you looking to today to define your purpose for why you are here on planet Earth? And to help us understand what we look to and where to look to define our purpose, I thought it'd be fun to share something with you. This is called the Echo Cake. How many of you guys love this Echo Cake? If you'll zoom in real close, you can see There's the three bars there. That's pretty sweet. It's about to fall off. How many of y'all getting nervous right now? It's coming. Oh. This cake is beautiful, though, isn't it? Now, if I took this cake and I handed it to a scientist, or let's say a nutritionist, or one of those chefs on the reality chef shows, if I handed it to somebody who's really good with food, they'd be able to break it apart and tell you a lot about the cake. They could tell you, first of all, that it's an ugly cake. They could tell you the ingredients inside of the cake. They probably even could tell you when the cake was made, you know, how good it is on a scale of 1 to 10. But there are some things about the cake that they could not tell you. They could not tell you who made it. They would not be able to tell you the reason that it was made. But I can tell you. In fact, this cake was made by me. And the reason that it was made was for a message illustration at Echo Church. That's the purpose of this cake. My son is actually hoping that it has another purpose and I bring it home with me after the service. But the real reason is this cake was created to make an illustration. Now, the point that I'm making is that the Creator defines the purpose. And today what we want to do is we want to look to our Creator to define why we are here on planet Earth. God puts you here for a reason. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says it like this. We have a longing for eternity inside of our hearts. There is something in us, every human being, that wants to know who we are, why we're here, and literally what is the meaning or purpose of life. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to look at what Jesus said about the meaning of life, the most important thing that you and I could give our lives to. Now, this passage of scripture is very profound, and it's very profound in the most simple way, and Jesus answers the question of our reason for existence in two primary spots. We're going to go back and forth, and today, what I'm believing is that there are two primary groups of people at our church. There are some of you, this is the aha moment, where you today, the purpose for your existence is going to come alive for you in a way that it never has before. I'm believing that today, that this will be a defining moment for some of you in your journey spiritually. Others of you, this is going to be the day that you go back to living in your purpose. Maybe you already know why you're here, but you're not living in it. And my belief is that the joy that God wants you to experience in your life comes from discovering and experiencing the reason why you're here on planet Earth. That's where true fulfillment in our life is most deeply experienced. And as we look at the words and the teachings of Jesus, he's going to help us experience the fullness of why God placed us here on planet Earth. You know, there's some amazing things that would happen in the ministry of Jesus. And one thing that was very unusual about Jesus' teachings is that the kind of people that would follow him were not the kind of people that followed the religious leaders. In fact, large crowds would follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 33, it talks about the perspective that these people had. It says, when the crowds heard him, they were astonished at his teaching. They literally were astonished at how profound what Jesus was saying was to them. Now, they were astonished because of multiple different reasons. First of all, they had this realization that Jesus was taking these deep truths of God and putting them in the most simple ways that ordinary people like you and I can understand. He was literally giving ordinary people a lens through which they wanted to see God, or through which they could see God. And I think that meets that felt need inside of all of us to know and understand why we're here and know and understand God. But the other aspect of Jesus' teaching was that there was an authority about him. He was able to cut through the difficulty of life to get them to the place where they could experience God's love, and large crowds of people would flock to hear him. But there's another group of people that we see often in the ministry of Jesus, and it was the religious leaders. The religious leaders didn't like the fact that all the crowds were coming after Jesus, because that meant that they weren't following the religious leaders. So now there's this insecurity, and there's this jealousy, and there's this frustration that they experience with Jesus and his ministry advancing. And we're going to see the tension and the underlying problems that they were feeling in this story. In verse 34, it says, but when the Pharisees, now the Pharisees are pretty much the antagonist to the ministry of Jesus. They were very religious. They understood the law of God. In fact, it's believed that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, so understood the Old Testament of the Bible that the scrolls in which it was written in, they could take a pen and put it into those scrolls and know by how far into the scroll it went which verse of the Bible it was on. That's how much they knew and understood the Old Testament. So it says, now the Pharisees and the teachers of the law heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, which is another religious group, with his reply. And they met together again to question him, talking about questioning Jesus. And it's important for us to see that every human being has questions. It's a part of life, trying to get answers to the things that are inside of us. But the nature of the question really does matter. See, for these religious leaders, their whole nature of the question that they were proposing to Jesus was to try to stump him. They were trying to do everything that they could to throw Jesus off. They had a critical spirit. There's a big difference between a critical mind and a critical spirit. You've been around people who have a critical spirit. Everything's wrong, everything's off. That's the religious leaders. But when we have a critical mind, we're simply seeking to understand truth, answers to the deepest questions in life. And a lot of times people would come. That's why the crowds were there with Jesus, because he's answering the deep longings of their soul. So the crowd's there, the religious leaders are there, they're trying to throw Jesus off. And then it says in verse 35, one of them, an expert in the religious law. Now that's kind of funny when you think about it, because they're next to Jesus, the one that kind of wrote the law. But an expert in the religious law tried to trap Jesus with this very important question. He said, teacher, which is the most important commandment in all the law of Moses? That's a good question. Because like there's this whole thing called the Ten Commandments, and there's the stuff about honor your father and mother, and then there's adultery, and then there's like do not murder. And so what is Jesus going to say? There's this stuff, the Ten Commandments. Then there's a whole nother set of things called the law, which is in the book of Leviticus. That's the place where when you're reading through the book of the Bible, the reading through the Bible in a year, you just kind of fast forward a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like you start reading, you're like, man, all this killing goats and stuff. I'm getting through this here. And nobody else ever had that happen. Okay. Yeah. But it's the place where all the laws were written down. There were 600 plus laws. And then on top of all their laws, there were all these other things that the religious leaders had written that people needed to do. So it's like asking somebody, who's your favorite kid? Right? It's like, which kid do you love? How do you choose one kid or the other? If you say one's your favorite kid or the better kid or the most important kid, then all the other kids don't matter quite as much. So Jesus is trapped. What's the most important law in all of the law? Jesus. And I want us to see the heart of Jesus' response. See, the religious leaders, they understood the letter of the law, but they didn't understand the spirit of the law that the law was given in. And Jesus looks at them and he said, the most important thing, verse 37, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all of your mind. I wonder if we could read it aloud together, everybody who's awake. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. One more time, like you really, really mean it. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Jesus says, this is it. This is your whole reason for existence. He follows it up by saying, this is the first and greatest commandment. If you get this, you get everything. That the primary reason that you were placed here on planet Earth is to love God. See, you are a relational human being. You are not here just as a human doing. You're called a human being for a reason. It's because God made you to connect with his heart. From the moment that you were conceived and you grew inside of your mother's womb, from that moment, God had an agenda for you. He had a purpose for you. There was a reason why he created you. You're different. You're unique. You're the only person on the planet like you. And the primary purpose for your existence, you are an eternal being. That means that from this life, when it's over, you will go on for all of eternity. And God created you for relationship with himself. You were made for a loving relationship with God. That's your primary purpose for existence. That at the core of who you are made to connect with your creator. Now, there's two groups of people in the room today. Some of you are like, yeah, I got it. Cool. I understand this. Read this in Sunday school 40 years ago. Peace out. I'm out of here. Others of you, this is new insight for you. See, it was so crucial for the religious leaders in that moment to put the pressure on Jesus because everything for them mounted up to religion. Like if they could get people to respond to their religious pressure from all these rules and things that they were placing on them, that was the point. And in fact, if you memorized and you understood the law and you knew it backwards and forward, then that was the purpose for your existence. But Jesus said to them one time in the book of John, he said, you read the whole law, and what you fail to recognize is that the whole law points to me. And you can come to me to have life. I'm the purpose of the law that you're memorizing. The purpose of it is not religion. The purpose of it is relationship. It's not about law. It's about love. See, you have this weight on your shoulders. You think it's about all these rules that you have to keep, but you're missing the reason why you're keeping the rules. Now, all the boundaries and things that God puts in place in our lives, they're there for a reason. He wants to protect you, but the reason they're there is because God loves you. And something shifts internally when you get this in your heart. I remember my parents have been in town this weekend. My dad was in the last service. It was pretty cool having him here. He's from Michigan. And we were talking a little bit about how growing up in my family, I'm the oldest child. I had a lot more responsibilities than, you know, the other kids. And I remember growing up how much I hated my responsibilities. Like washing the dishes, oh my gosh, I would go crazy. I hated washing the dishes. Anybody else as a kid, okay? Moment of honesty. This is not an opportunity for you teenagers to say, look, that's what Pastor Andy said. I'm not washing the dishes anymore, okay? But I remember in that experience in my life hating to do the chores and the dishes. But guess what? Been married for 15 years. I love the dishes. You want to know why I love the dishes? Because my wife loves when I love to wash the dishes. And I'm motivated internally in a different level because there's love. It's not something I'm obligated to do. It's something I do because of relationship. See, something shifts when you understand that God created you for relationship. So the reason that you obey, the reason you do the right thing is out of love for God. When you get this, it centers everything about your life. So no matter where you go, if you're at home with the kids, if you're driving, if you're in your school, if you're at your place of work, loving God can become the primary lens and the heartbeat of why you exist, that you can bring that wherever you go. Now, some of you, those of you who are like, I got it. I want to challenge you for a second. When you look at your time, when you look at what you do with your money, when you look at ultimately all the different things that you're doing with your life, does your life reflect the fact that you love God more than anything else? I think there are a lot of Christians that maybe their life reflects that they go to church on Sunday and they maybe are involved in an echo group or they serve, but when you look at the core of who they are, it's not love. So what if we switched our perspective and we started every day with this as the primary lens, the moment your feet hit the ground in the morning, instead of rushing into my work, I'm going to stop. And I'm going to say, God, today, I want to ask you to help me love you a little bit more. I want to ask you to help me do things, not because I have to, but because I get to. God, thank you for how deeply you have loved me. There's a power in this. 15 minutes a day, read the Bible and pray. It would change everything for you and I. If that would become the habit that is the baseline for our life, and then that starts to fill in all the different gaps. See, I struggle with this, guys. I know that there are some people who are more relational, some people who are more task-oriented. I remember in high school, my youth pastor one time coming to me and saying, hey, Andy, you're like all relational, but all these other people on staff are working, and you're just talking, so stop talking, start working. I'm like, okay, got it. But something over time started to shift, and more responsibility led to more pressure, which led me to be more task-oriented. And some of you today, you're real task-oriented. Some of you, you're real relational. How many of you guys say, I'm real relational? I'm much more relational. Okay, raise your hands up high. How many are more task-oriented? Okay, it's funny how throughout the day, it's a little more relational. You know, the task people in and out. I got to go on my day. How many of you are both? Okay, just raise them both. Like, okay, how many of you neither? You wouldn't even bother to raise your hand, so we'll just keep moving. But you get the point that I find that tension of always wanting to go to tasks. I have to remind myself, even in my relationship with God, sometimes I'm going straight to the thing that I need God to do when I need to slow down. Thank you. Thank you for how deeply you love me. Thank you for how good you are. God, thank you for your mercy. You've been so faithful. God, I praise you today that every good gift I have in my life comes from you. It centers my heart. It centers my mind. It changes everything. Jesus says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Get this, and you'll start getting the rest of it. The spirit of the law is love. Everything from the beginning in Genesis to the end in Revelation, it's all a love letter from God. It's all written to you to communicate the love of God. I so often when I read the Bible, I wonder what it would be like if you could put emoticons in there, you know? Some of you emoticon everything. But if you could put emoticons in there, what you would see all throughout laced into Scripture is the heart of God for you. It's a loving relationship that he wants you to experience with himself. That is your reason for being here on planet Earth. To know and to love God. The more you get this, the more deeply you will be satisfied. The more your circumstances will not affect you. The more you'll be able to go through divorce and still walk. The more you'll be able to lose your job and not lose your mind. The more you will be able to traverse through life when you understand no matter what your circumstances, today you can wake up and love God. You can be in a prison cell and still praise him. You can be in difficulty in your life when this is your purpose. There is nothing that the circumstances in your life can do to rob you of your joy, because it's loving him, his love in you, that changes your demeanor and allows you to experience your reason for existence. It's to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And oh, by the way, the second is like this. In fact, there's another part of it, he says. It's equally important. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets, they are based on these two commandments. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. Jesus said one time, the thing that will distinguish you from everybody else is your love for one another. So the more you get this, the more you understand God's love for you, the more you love him back, the more you love other people around you. How amazing is it that sometimes Christians are the meanest people on the planet? Is it not true? Can I get a good amen with no elbows for anybody around you? But you were created to love others. God made you to love the people around you. And the most difficult people to love are often the ones underneath the roof that you live in, the house that you live in. It's the person you drove to church with today. Oftentimes, it's the most difficult person to love. Don't say amen to that. Just say, don't even make eye contact right now. Just keep looking ahead. They won't even know. Just stay, me and you, right here, I see you. But it's so true that oftentimes when somebody around us that we interact with a lot, they're harder to love. And then the other people that are hard to love are the people that are different from us. You know what I'm saying? Like people that are like you that you don't even know, I'm like, dude, we could be best friends. It's because I don't know your weaknesses. I don't know your struggles. And you probably have some of the same ones. So I'll overlook them because we have the same issues, right? And you're different. And you're similar to me, but I don't know you quite as well. But the people that I know that are closest to me and the people that are different than me, they're harder to love. But Jesus says, this vertical love from me changes the horizontal love that you have for others. This last week was a very big week in American history because we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the life of Martin Luther King Jr. He said one time, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can drive out darkness. And hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can drive out hate. It's when you understand the potent force of love that the world is truly transformed. That's why we're still talking about his life. That's why you look around you right now, all of our campuses. You look around you, you see people who are different color skin. You see Indian, you see East Asian, Southeast Asian. You see Filipino, you see Hispanic, you see, I'm going to leave somebody else if I just keep going like this. You see black, you see white, you see every ethnicity in our church. That's the vision of Martin Luther King, but that's the vision of Jesus. That's the vision that we're all created by God to love each other in spite of our differences. And when you get that, you get your purpose. You get your reason for existence. So you can go to work on Monday, and she might drive you nuts, but you're there to love her. You can go into your classroom on Tuesday, and that teacher, you're ready to slash her tires, but you're there, don't do it, but I'm just saying, just be honest, but you're there for a purpose, to love. Followers of Jesus, we ought to be known for the way that we love each other, because that's what Jesus said. And we as a church, we're here to help you with that purpose. In fact, all the different things that we do as a church are not just things that we do because we do them and we're like, well, we don't really have anything else to do. Might as well just have a bunch of echo groups. We have echo groups because we want to connect you into community with other people around you who are doing life and need help just like you need help. And together, we can lock arms and we can strengthen each other and we can inspire one another and we can encourage one another. I saw a study this week about the power of community and physical touch and relationship. And it said that there were this group of premature babies born. And the ones that were born, one group they put in a section and they had physical touch therapy 20 minutes a day. The other they just treated as normal. Normal, not mean, but just normal. And they notice a 47% difference in their growth, the ones that were touched. This might be a good time to reach out and grab somebody's hand. Look for a future spouse right now. Just try it. Just try it. He said the power of touch. It's right there, right there. But you know, there is power in connection. Because you were made by God for relationships. You were. One of the most miserable things that humans experience is when they are placed into solitary confinement, because you were made for relationships. You were made to connect with other people around you. And it's not until we get there that we experience fulfillment and joy. It's amazing how so often people come in our church and they sit at the back, and we're glad you're here at the back. We want the guy at the back to feel safe, but you gotta move into community. You gotta take that step. You gotta sign up for a group. Go through GrowTrack. This week, we talked about, in GrowTrack, we're talking about the importance of your growth spiritually. And growth happens through relationships. You got to take that step in order to experience the fullness of what God wants for you. Again, let me just stop and say, you're like, move on, dude. I got it. Love God, love people. Jesus said that like 2,000 years ago, man. But really, do you? Do you have it? Like, are you waking up every day thinking to yourself, okay, today I want to live to love God a little bit more. I want to live to love people a little bit more. It's hard. It's really, really hard. And it's a lot easier to confuse ourselves with theological stuff, right? Like, if I could give you a bunch of Greek and make you feel dumb and like you're like, yeah, I feel spiritual because I feel dumb because he used all these words. But at the end of the day, that's why the religious leaders were all up on Jesus, was because it was so simple. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. You give your whole life to that. And we're still going to fail. We still need grace. We still need God's help. But I can wake up tomorrow after my failure and I can continue to live into it. Love God and love people. But there's one last part of this that I think is the switch for some of us today. It's that moment that Jesus would commission his followers right before he goes back to heaven. And, you know, it's amazing the power of last words, because when you're thinking about your last words, you really want to make an impression on people around you. Jesus, at this point, at the end of his ministry in Matthew chapter 28, he's already conquered the grave. He's already resurrected from the dead. And he's going to give a commission to his followers and tell them what they should focus on. And he makes a statement. He says, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What he's saying is, I kicked death in the teeth. I overcame the grave. And now, because of that, I'm the king of heaven. I am the king of earth, ultimately. And I'm going to give you a commission as a result of this. In verse 19, he says, therefore, go. Everybody say that word together. Therefore, go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these to the new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the very ends of the age. And he says it and he kind of, boom, back to heaven. So they're like, all right, he's gone. What do we do now? I guess we go into all the world and we make disciples of all nations. In fact, those early followers of Jesus would all lose their lives for that commission. And they would embrace the reality that God had given to them a mission for their lives. It was a purpose that called them higher. It was the reality that they were loved by God. They loved each other. But now we got to get this love to the ends of the earth. That word, all nations, is every nation, every tribe, every tongue of people on the planet. God wants to experience relationship with himself. So if you're here and you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. You still have a reason for existence. And so often I think the greatest struggle that we face is that we constantly are looking to some position to define our purpose. That if I could just get on at Google and I could just get a job there, if I could just get to Apple and work on the iPhone 11 X1, if I could date her, if I could just have that level of income, we look to a position or a place or an amount of money to define our purpose. But position must never define your purpose. It's your purpose that defines how you utilize your position. When you and I get this, it changes everything for us. In fact, I so remember being in high school and starting to work. I worked at McDonald's initially. Let's give it up for McDonald's. That's right. McDonald's won't send you to hell. It'll just make you get there faster. And it's amazing I'm still alive. But I did work there for a little while. And then I actually worked at a liquor store for a little while. I didn't drink the liquor. But I did work in the back in this freezer, and my job was to rotate all the beer. Sounds funny, but I remember being in there and having the realization in that season of my life at 16, 17, 18 years old that I could live on mission right where I am planted right now. That there is somebody that I work with here at McDonald's that really needs to understand God's love. And there is this boss that I have that needs to see Jesus inside of me. And I can bring my purpose to my position. I can bring my purpose to the place that I am in my life. I want to invite the band to come forward at all of our campuses. You can bring your purpose to the place that you are right now. And the third place that God wants you to be is to live as though you are sent by God into the earth with this good news. See, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are sent by God on a mission to make a difference with your life. And you will not be satisfied until you get that. You're going to try a lot of different stuff. You're going to look at a lot of different places. You will be miserable if you are a follower of Jesus until you embrace the fact that you were created by God for a mission. He has you here for a purpose. The reason he hasn't taken you home back to heaven is because there's still work that he wants to do through your life here on planet Earth. So it could be at Google. It can be at YouTube. It can be at your construction company. It can be at your school. It can be at any place in society. It can be in the line at Phil's. It can be in the line at Starbucks or Pete's or whatever your coffee preference is. It can be any place that you are. You can fulfill the mission that God has given to your life. You don't need a promotion for your purpose. You don't need a promotion. Some of you have been looking for a promotion for your purpose. You've been looking to your boss to define your purpose. You've been looking to an amount of money to tell you why you're here. God says, I am sending you as my followers to the ends of the earth. Could you imagine if every follower of Jesus were to embrace this reality? Could you imagine if the 4,410 people that came through the doors of our church last week were to embrace the reality that they are sent by God? With the good news of Jesus' love, we wouldn't be able to start campuses fast enough. We wouldn't have enough services. Because there is a power when you understand that you are sent by God. I don't know if anybody in this service is getting it. Maybe I just have to keep going until I feel like somebody's got this. You are given a mission from God. You are here for a reason. There are people around you that need God's love. There are people who are heading towards eternity apart from Jesus, and you are the answer to somebody's prayer. There's some grandma on her knees in Tracy that's been praying for her granddaughter for years, and somehow she just ended right next to you at work. It's not accident. It's because God sent you there to make a difference. There are people at your gym. There are people at your school. There are people that God has placed you here on planet Earth so that you can change their lives. Something shifts in us when we get this. You know, the Dead Sea, I was in Israel this year. I was blown away by the Dead Sea. Did you know that everything in the Dead Sea is dead? Did you know that? That's why it's called the Dead Sea. But you know why it's dead? It's because everything flows into the Dead Sea and nothing flows out. Some of us are like that spiritually. Everything's flowing in and nothing's flowing out. And today's your day to get your mission. It's to say, I'm going to live for God with everything I have. I'm going to stop playing games. Some of you have been playing games, rubbing your eyes, half in, yawning about life, and you're here to change the world around you. Love God, love people, live sent. Love God, love people, live sent. Can we say it together? Love God, love people, live sent. Say it like you mean it. Love God, love people, live sent. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. The question is, will you embrace it? There are some of you here today, the thing that you need to do is you need to step up today and get baptized. In fact, at the end of our time together, we actually have some folks in the back with some lanyards and make some noise. They're there today to help you take that step. You came today, you weren't ready to get baptized. We were ready for you. We got t-shirts, shorts, feminine products, hair products, flip-flops, towels, everything that you can need. Photographer, everything, so you can take that step. So at the end of our service, we're gonna sing a song. I want you to slip out. You're a follower of Jesus, you've not gone public. This is the day, it's a wedding ring. That's literally what baptism is. It's like a wedding ring that symbolizes your decision you've made to follow Jesus. Today is the day. It doesn't save you, it displays what you've done. So we're gonna sing a song. During the song, we're all gonna stand up. Person next to you is gonna make way. You can get out, you can go to the back today. You can make that decision to be baptized. Others of you today, this is your day to put your faith in Jesus for the first time for the forgiveness of your sins. He died on a cross to forgive you. He conquered the grave so you can have life by faith in him and what he's done on a cross and yielding your life. Relationship with God can begin right now in this moment. Others of you, today is the day that you're going to shift and you're going to get back on mission. And you're going to say, I'm going to stop consuming. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to stop watching. I'm going to start participating. I'm going to go through Grow Track. I'm going to go by the hub. I'm going to sign up for a dream team and I'm going to let God use my life. I'm going to start bringing my friends and family members. I'm going to join this mission and God's going to use you. You're switching your lens today. You're changing the way you see your life. And you're going to wake up on Monday morning with more reason for existence because you know you're loved by God. You're going to love him back. You're going to love others and you're going to live sent. Let's stand together at all of our campuses. And if this is your moment to step out and get baptized, when I say amen, you just go straight to the back and make that decision to say, yes, I'm following Jesus with all of my life. Father, thank you today for the good news that you've come that we might have life and have it abundantly. Thank you for how deeply you love us to the core of who we are. Thank you that it's not for religion that you came, but it's relationship. I pray that every person at all of our campuses and every service today would understand that to the core of who they are, that internally they would be able to embrace that they're loved by you and love others. God, help us engage in community. Help us serve others around us and to live out the mission that you've given to our lives. God, thank you for the good news. Thank you for this incredible church and what you're doing. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.